Hello and welcome to Zero Hour with our hosts Hugh Joyce and Tim Bowring. Good afternoon, Hugh.
Good to be here, Tim.
Thank you. Today's show is an ongoing series that explores the Metro Richmond thriving art scene and the people who make it happen. Every Wednesday at 12:30, we sit down with one of these folks. The conversation is lively and spontaneous, so pull up a chair and meet some fascinating people. Today, we are talking with Chris Gregson. Welcome, Chris, to Zero Hour.
Good to be here.
So, when I say Metro Richmond, I guess I'm really pushing the boundaries on this a little bit because you're currently living in Fredericksburg, right?
Yes, that's right. I live in Fredericksburg.
All righty. But let's talk a little bit about how this whole thing got started for you in terms of making art. And we don't have to start at like 3 years old, but was it an interest of yours in high school or?
It's always been a family interest. My mother was an artist. My older brother was an artist. And I think I was most inspired by my older brother, who really went the academic track and studied art at the University of Connecticut and then the mm-hmm. Art Institute. And we used to go to New York together in the late, I don't know if it was the late 60s. It was probably the early 70s. And go to the galleries together, and he was sort of a mentor. So
there was always,
I'm self-taught.
It was always an attraction?
Yeah, it's always an attraction.
But you didn't go to art school?
No, I didn't go to art school.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, we're done then.
Yeah.
If you didn't go to art school, how can you make art if you don't go to art school? I don't understand this at all. So that's fabulous. I mean, that's a rarity, actually, I think.
Well, that's cool. And am I reading this right? You're represented in Richmond by Reynolds Gallery. Is that right?
Yeah, I show at Reynolds Gallery here in Richmond, and I show in Philadelphia, and I've showed in Washington. I've shown pretty much all over.
Outstanding. But your key representations with Reynolds in the gallery in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Great.
So when you're not making art, what are you doing? What do you do with your spare time?
My spare time? I like to think of my spare time as working in the garden.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I like to work in the garden. And I also am very, very fond of architecture, Virginia architecture.
Really?
Yes. And a matter of fact, I did a guidebook, a historical guidebook of historical properties in Henrico County. I published that 15 years ago.
Was this drawings?
No. It was the architectural inventory of the county.
Okay.
And places that are outstanding landmarks in the county of Henrico.
Right.
And I'm sort of fascinated by architectural history, and matter of fact, I have two historic houses. I actually have a small historic house in Northumberland County, which mm-hmm. is an 1826 former blacksmith cottage. And then I have a contemporary home in Fredericksburg that was originally built in 1960s and then renovated. So
I guess 1960s is now considered historic.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, it depends on who the architect was. But are you in town or are you outside of town, in Fredericksburg?
In Stafford, actually, okay. In a subdivision called Argyle Heights, which is classic 1950 subdivision.
Yeah.
Neat. Well, you know, I'm a real estate guy. I love real estate, particularly historic. I grew up in an old miller's cottage, and so, I mean, I get the whole real estate and, historic piece where many things have happened over time in the property.
Well, take us on a little tour of your art making, because you've been doing it for quite a while now, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been doing it for a long time. What happened was I studied theater. I mean, my older brother studied art, and then I was always the theater person. We were a very creative family, as one mm-hmm. might surmise. And I studied theater, and then I moved to New York, and I did a lot of off-Broadway work. I started sort of as an actor, but my love became really stage stage design.
So really?
I did a lot of stage design initially in New York. But
what does that entail? I mean, I think I know what it entails, but...
Well, it entails working...
I mean, you're talking about doing the... we're good.
It entails working with... As a stage designer, you work directly with the director. And...
So literally designing the space as an architect might, or actually creating the actual artifacts that go into the space, or all of the above?
All of the above. It's, you know, the difference between architecture and stage design is that you're creating an emotional space mm-hmm. for the narrative.
Right. Okay.
So that's what I initially did. I got inspired by a lot of the work of artists that were doing stage work too. I mean, in the early 20th century, Picasso and Miro and
right.
others would do a lot of things for dance and other stage productions. I was very inspired by that. And I think that helped me transition into making art.
Well,
so I made emotional spaces that were not associated with theater.
What do you mean?
Well, if you see my art, it's abstract, right. And I use shapes and forms, and I put them in space. So if one is going to interpret my work, it's a good connection. A way to connect to my work is to look at it as some sort of space and having an emotional reaction to it.
And do you have a website, and do you have your work out?
I don't have a website. That's by intent. It's also sort of a rebellious thing. I do have an art blog, which I use as a website. It's just called Chris Gregson Art Blog. And the reason why I don't have a website is because it's very stagnant. I have a blog, which is, I think, more up to date. I can express my feelings about the work I'm doing in time.
Well, I think this is very interesting, Tim. Now, this is the first time I've seen this here since we've been interviewing folks, where the artist, by design, on purpose, to be renegade, does not have a website. And I think that's interesting. I like it. And it makes, you know, a little bit mysterious. You know, the work is kind of out there, but it's not out there for everybody to see. So that's interesting.
I mean, do you see yourself as a writer also?
As a writer?
Yeah.
I do some writing, yeah.
I mean, the book, I assume, had some writing in it, obviously.
Right, right.
Wasn't all images.
Right. Oh, no.
Yeah.
So what are you working on now? Tell us a little bit about, you know, and I love, you know, abstract, and I love sculptural things, and mm-hmm. it sounds like are you sculptural, or is it two-dimensional?
It's two-dimensional.
So tell us about what you're working on now and what's driving that.
I've been doing a lot of oil painting, and I was blessed with a lot of production and a lot of exhibitions over the last few years. And it was oil-based paintings. And I work on multiple panels at the same time, so I can crank out. That's a weird production term.
Well, no, that's okay. Most artists refer to their artwork as stuff.
Yeah, right. you know, a number of, you know, 50, 60, 100 panels within a year.
I love it. I've got up some images now. Now I'm happy. you don't have a website, but he's on Google Images, so I'm seeing it now, and it's cool.
Uh-huh. So I've been doing, I was devoted to like, yeah, that's my work. Yeah. I was very devoted to painting for the last few years, and the surfaces that I create are very, very intense and very thick. I reapply the paint over and over and over again until I feel I've come to a successful point in the image making. And recently, I've sort of abandoned painting for a short period of time, or maybe months at this point. And I'm doing all works on paper, which is even more, it's very spontaneous and very quick.
So you're using what?
I'm using watercolor,
okay.
Oil, I mean, I'm sorry, watercolor gouache. I'm using some graphite and ink.
Why?
It's those are the materials around my studio.
No, I mean, why the change?
I wanted to be more spontaneous. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be more instantaneous too. Right. The oil paintings are extremely labor intensive, and
yeah, I mean, if you're putting on layer of oil paint,
mm-hmm. and when you get
you probably still have paintings that are still drying somewhere right now.
Right.
And you know, a lot of material. When you start layering that on, you're going through tubes and tubes.
But it's also a process. I mean, it's really, for me, the intent of sort of abandoning oil painting for a short period of time is to try another process, really.
Are the images abstract?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And they're probably recognizable. I mean, you would probably associate them with my paintings,
mm-hmm.
pretty
mm-hmm.
much so.
Yeah, the paint is really. I love the way you kind of connect them and make a long line or a cluster. Or very, very, very interesting. So, is there anything underlying that's causing you to do what you're doing? We know you're doing something different now, but what's making you put on the paper what you're putting on the paper? Anything? Is it anything going on out there, or is it just?
I'm always. I let my intuition lead, so I never approach the project with a specific idea in mind. I don't illustrate. I don't do representation. I mean, my content is all intuitive, and I allow the forms to create the subject.
That is very interesting.
Can you explain that to me?
Basically,
I mean, the forms to create the subject.
Well,
I mean, I think I know.
I construct my images based on using elementary forms. So okay. I use squares and triangles and circles, and I build until some sort of product mm-hmm. is created. So that's the way I work. It's totally, you know. It's totally intuitive, and the subject can relate to the real world, but it's not by intent.
Right. So when you're working on a piece, are you? I'm assuming you're not having, let's say, a conversation in your head that could be maybe articulated. But clearly there's a conversation going on. Can you talk about that at all?
Well, like
can you talk about the things you don't talk about?
Well, the conversation is basically that the conversation is that I work with these forms, and they let's say for conversation that I work with these forms which are building blocks. And the building blocks, and I'm like a child. I work with these building blocks, and then out of the process of connecting the building blocks, mm-hmm. I create images. 98% of the time, they can be associated with the real world.
I mean, do you find yourself painting mostly in what might be described a meditative state? In terms of the way your mind
I would see
is,
a meditative state as being,
I mean, you're not painting
more
and thinking
abstract,
about,
really abstract sort of express. Let's say mm-hmm. applying the paint in a very abstract expressionist way. I don't do that because I
right.
work with strict forms.
Right.
So I'm building shapes and forms that create the images.
So you're thinking about the shapes and the forms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking about the shapes and the forms.
Does the outside
world... And I
world...
see that there's references there mm-hmm. when I'm finished.
Mm-hmm.
And does the outside world influence me? Of course it does.
Well, no. Does it disappear while you're working?
Oh.
I mean, does the time just sort of not stop? But, you know, you look up and you go, whoa, that was 2 hours. Where did that go?
I don't know. I mean, I concentrate on what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
How many hours a day are you painting?
Well, I used to. That's another thing. Is I'm taking less time now to paint because I'm working in the watercolors. Because I could probably do many more watercolors than I can do a lot. I can do many more watercolors than I can do a painting. Period. But actually, the way I'm working now, it's hard to say once again, because what I'll do is I'll apply the watercolor and make an underlying image, and it may be finished, but it may not be, and I will revisit that over and over and over again. So I'll put it aside and start another one.
And that was somewhat of a loaded question, because I find particularly artists that, you know, are pretty much that's what they do. They'll say, I'm painting, you know, 6 or 8 hours a day, pretty much 5 days a week. It's my job. You know, they're lucky because typically they love their job. But someone like yourself that's producing this amount of work is probably painting a fair amount each week, right? That's what I was kind of getting at. Would you say you're painting?
I paint, you know, I can paint up to 8 hours a day. but as this summer, I'm painting less.
So, no, it's interesting. You know, people in, you know, ebbs and flows. It's very, very interesting to me.
But you weren't, have you retired or are you?
No, I haven't retired.
You're still working a.
Yeah, I work professionally.
I what's your day job?
I manage cultural resources for the county of Henrico. So that's the reason why I've got this inspiration in architecture.
Well, that's cool. So when you say cultural resources, older homes and special things in parks or what?
The properties that the county owns.
Gotcha.
As well as I advise on planning issues regarding the preservation of historic resources in the county.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Okay. All right. So, yeah.
Yeah, which brings us back to your two houses.
Yes.
So the one smaller house, I assume, is a vacation house, or is that just your...
Yeah, it's a secondary house.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, some people love to collect, cars and...
You collect houses?
I collect. I wouldn't say I collect houses, but I'm very, very fond of them. Yes.
Okay.
I love houses, too. So interesting. I love real estate.
So you and on the information you sent us, you had said that a quote from is it Chang Yin Yang, or do you know? But anyway, a Tang Dynasty historian: in painting, one should avoid worrying about accomplishing a work that is too diligent and too finished in the depiction of forms and the notion of colors, or one that makes too great a display of one's technique, thus depriving it of the mystery and aura. Is that still true for you?
Yes. Yeah, I think it is. I guess I'm... It's not really not... craft needs to be sort of... for me, it needs to be in the background. I mean, it has to be, you have to be a craftsman, but I don't think, for me, I like the emotional expression of the brush work.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it almost sounds, in a sense, transcendent. In other words, you know, we have these sort of basic kinds of rules of what a painting might be or should be, or, you know, what the makeup of painting is, or the composition of a painting, or those kinds of things. But there's something that's very intangible that also goes on if you're not careful, as it says here, you deprive the painting of its mystery and aura, mm-hmm. which I think is
right. Absolutely. Interesting. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So as far as where you're going now with this work, do you plan to show it? Do you plan to just use this as a friend of mine? I think you know him, maybe Javier
mm-hmm.
Tapia. was, when he was very young, a very good and published cartoonist.
Oh,
did you know that? And
no,
it's this incredible hand. I mean, he really has. They're stunning, and.
I initially I wanted to be a New Yorker cartoonist.
Really?
And I actually did a little bit of going from place to place in New York, showing my portfolio.
Right.
And I got rejections. And a matter of fact, I met with one of the cartoonists for the New Yorker to get an opinion on my work. And they said, well, you either have to make a commitment. You're going to be a stage designer. Are you going to be an artist? Or are you going to be a cartoonist? You can't be all three.
Right.
So the cartooning was first to go.
So was that really a pivotal moment in your life?
I was young. I was exploring everything. Yeah. You know, it was just, you know, I'm sure if this person said, you are the next New Yorker cartoon
right
creator,
we probably wouldn't be talking to each other.
You wouldn't be talking to me today.
Well, who knows, right? Thank you, folks, for listening. And we hope to see you on the radio again next Wednesday at 12:30. This is Hugh Joyce and Tim Bowring hoping you have a great week. And you are listening to WHAN 1430 AM and 102.9 FM.